Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Friday, September 4th. Snackers, the Dow slipped by 800 points. That's 3% yesterday for no particular reason. Bringing back beginning of the summer vibes, worst loss since June 11th. But Snackers, stocks were up by 4% the previous 10 days.
True story.
So we're still up 1% over that span.
You got to sprinkle some context on this thing. If stocks grew 1% every 10 days, Jack, how would that look?
That would be a fantastically, fabulously good year of stock gains.
Based on that context, we decided to make today's Snacks Daily the best one yet.
For our first story, after 50 years of hibernation, Campbell Soup had quite a 2020.
Yeah, canned foods are having a moment, but investors think you're full of soup.
Second story, Samsung doesn't just make cell phones that burst into flame spontaneously.
That is a fun feature of the Galaxy, though.
Samsung, we're never going to forget about that story.
The South Korean enormous company is splurging $2 billion on the biggest medicine factory in history.
For our third and final story, the Jeep Grand Wagoneer, also known as the Woody, the Beaver, or the Wood Wagon, is coming back.
Snackers, Jeep's 2022 all-new throwback is a shiny example of turning nostalgia into money. But Snackers, before we jump into that wonderful mix of stories, happy Labor Day weekend. Our last pod before Tuesday, by the way.
Now, it's called Labor Day weekend because we're all working too damn hard. So I'm glad we're taking a day off.
Yeah, it's also a four-day work week and a three-day holiday weekend.
Can somebody please make that permanent? Every week should be a four-day work week with a three-day weekend.
Slap it on a bumper sticker, make it a campaign slogan. Jack and I, we've been saying this for years.
Someone could become president with that single slogan.
Make it the new normal. But in the meantime, treat yourself this weekend to some ice cream.
And as you do, remember our dearly depinted flavors over at Ben & Jerry's Flavor Graveyard.
Jack, moment of silence. From the Waterbury, Vermont-based dairy company owned by Unilever that actually has a flavor graveyard on their corporate campus.
It's a real tourist attraction because not all flavors make it in the big leagues like Cherry Garcia and Americone Dream Day.
Classics. Case in point, though, Snackers, pour a scoop out for Holy Cannoli.
Holy Cannoli. It was actually a Ben & Jerry's ice cream from 1997 to 1998.
Creamy ricotta, pistachio, and literally was cannoli ice cream.
The next one, there's actually a tombstone for this. Shweddy Balls was an actual flavor. 2011 holiday season limited batch.
2011 to 2011, inspired by an SNL skit.
And the third one here, Vermonti Python, born in 2006, perished in 2008.
Rubbish. Nice run, though. No herring in this one or Knights of Knee.
That wasn't a nice move at all, wasn't it?
But Snackers, no flavor lives forever except for half-baked.
We're thinking full-baked should happen over with our buddies at Ben & Jerry's.
90% cookie dough, 10% ice cream. Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Jeep just unveiled a whole new Grand Wagoneer that's topping out at $100,000.
Jeep is the latest company cashing in on nostalgia at a very high price.
Snackers, we're talking the 2022 Jeep Grand Wagoneer, a remake of the iconic wood-paneled wagon on wheels.
Full disclosure, Snackers, my family had a Wagoneer, a 1988 Jeep Grand Wagoneer, in the year 2008.
The only car that incorporates timber. And full disclosure, Snackers, I once saw them fit an entire platoon of Jack Kramer's family in this thing. Three in the front, three in the middle, three in the back. It was like an Amtrak.
Warning, when a wood wagon full of Kramers is coming, get out of the way.
Created in 1963, it had an unchanged style until the last production in 1991.
Yeah, it's back now. But outside of the Jeep CJ7 and the Jeep Wrangler, this is the most recognizable Jeep. You can Google it if you still can't picture what we're describing.
The new one doesn't have the hallmark like wood panels on the doors, but instead, it substituted an insane luxury.
Nick, this thing goes up to $100,000. A Jeep for $100,000.
Average car price, Jack, what are we clocking in at these days?
Like a third of that.
Doesn't run on gas, runs on caviar.
We're calling this thing the latest luxury ride for weekend warriors.
And that's because you got two parents up in the front, but then you got five kids in the back, each with their own TV.
That is not a typo. There are seven 10-inch screens in this Jeep Grand Wagoneer.
Feels like Times Square. You got Francesca casting like Netflix on the left side. Finley's binging on HBO Max on the right side of the car.
Each family member can be completely disconnected from each other because they're connected to their screens through Bluetooth from their phones.
But this is why this one car is a much bigger deal than just one car. Apparently, America has returned to the late 2000s when giant SUVs ruled the earth.
The Chevy Suburban, the Cadillac Escalade, the Ford Expedition, the Hummer. Nick, these things are tanks.
SUVs with their own zip codes. They have a dedicated census taker. Fun fact.
The lower the gas prices, the bigger the big car demand, and they are back.
And despite the trends of electrification and autonomous cars, the SUV segment, we've noticed, is reverting back to importance.
We've covered on this pod the last few months, the Hummer, the Ford Bronco, the Jeep Grand Wagoneer, they're all coming back in remade versions.
So you got like culture moving to the future with plant-based everything, but then you've got a counterculture of US-made SUVs also coming back.
These are Titanics, and they are perfect for the entire family heading from Nick's hometown of the Upper East Side to Jack's hometown of Mount Snow, Vermont for the weekend.
And on the way, you can literally watch the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. You could probably film the thing in this place.
You can watch the movies at different times because there's seven different screens.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Jeep and the entire car industry?
Nostalgia is being commoditized, and you see it in all these darn remakes.
Jack, our favorite pastime.
Chatting with buddies about our favorite pastime.
So true.
Our favorite consumer pastime, Jack.
New versions of things we used to love.
Snackers, there are two reasons we're seeing more nostalgia in the economy right now. And the first is that marketers are being lazy.
Honestly, it's easy to just remake something.
But the second is that marketers recognize that nostalgia is an emotion that drives spending.
Movies are packed with remakes like The Lion King, Top Gun, Zoolander 2.
You got Stranger Things, popular because it reminds us of the 80s.
Even consumer technology like BlackBerry and Motorola Razors, they're trying to make a comeback, tapping into our nostalgia.
You can create an entirely new product and then convince people to love it.
That sounds very hard.
Or you could modernize something Americans already love and are sad is gone.
That sounds pretty easy.
For our second story, Campbell Soup stock has never been healthier than during quarantine.
But the stock just dropped 7% after updating us on its plans for the future.
Kind of nice for a company when global events result in people obsessively hoarding your core product.
It's not an apocalyptic bunker.
No.
Unless it's stocked with cream of broccoli.
Jambalaya. Snackers, in the meantime, though, Campbell's Soup has seen its sales over the last 3 months jump
12%.
That is really high growth for a company that sells food created by baby boomers. Yeah. That's unchanged since baby boomers.
So Jack and I jumped in Snacks Out, looked at this like product by product, and it looks like Prego sauce sales jumped 19% last quarter.
Right. Campbell Soup owns Prego, and Tomato Sauce Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday during quarantine.
That's what you're having. They also own Cape Cod Potato Chips, whose sales were up 7%.
Pairs nicely with Netflix and a Cabernet.
Yes, it does, Jack. And then their core baby love, soup. Soup sales surged a whopping 52% last quarter.
Nick, Fauci just clarified something on CNN. I better get a couple more cases just in case.
Oh, and warning, snackers. Apparently, Campbell Soup is running out of broth.
Chicken broth, which is, of course, the juice cleanse of soups.
But the one thing Jack and I noticed they're like really proud of over at Campbell's Soup was they said they added 6.4 million customers across, quote unquote, all generations, including millennial cohort.
Hey, Campbell Soup, we're millennials. We don't like labels.
Cohort sounds like a military summer camp. Please don't use that with us.
How to alienate yourself from a millennial? Refer to them as a cohort.
And then the CEO went a little bit further and said, you know what? The kids these days, they're mixing our soup with cauliflower rice, which is a great thing.
Translation, we know kids prefer fresher and healthier food than what we have,
yeah, they do.
But they need sauce for it, and we can be the sauce.
So their soup is no longer the main product. It is now just something you sprinkle on what you actually want it to eat.
All right, Nick, overall, the earnings report sounds pretty good. So why did the stock plummet 7% on Thursday?
Jack, this feels like a moment for us to what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Campbell Soup.
Customer growth is fun. Customer retention is funnerer.
Snackers. Past success is like already reflected in the stock price that you're seeing today.
Where the stock goes from here depends on the outlook for Campbell Soup in the future.
It's not what have you done for me lately, it's what will you do for me tomorrow.
Well, the CEO just dropped this doozy. We all knew there would be a pivot eventually back to healthier recipes.
That's depressing. And it didn't help that the CEO then added, we may be a bit behind on our soup aisle of the future vision.
This is Campbell Soup's time to like keep millennials in their customer base for the long term.
The biggest opportunity they'll ever have to keep us slurping.
And their biggest idea to retain millennials and Gen Z slurpers?
What is it, Jack?
More soup of different flavors.
Yeah, no special branding, no on-the-go packaging, no snack-sized portions, just basic.
It looks like Campbell's not doing much to innovate to retain millennials and Gen Zers.
For our third and final story, Samsung is not the company you think it is.
It's about to build the biggest drug super plant in the world.
Honestly, if you don't have a drug manufacturing arm, what are you even doing?
Having your own biotech subsidiary is totally in season.
I work in biotech. Snackers, we've seen Kodak trying to transform into a pharmaceutical company, and we just told you how Nestle just bought a peanut allergy company.
Samsung's feeling the peer pressure and is building a $2 billion super plant they just announced this week.
We measured this thing out bigger than the Louvre.
Now, the way this is working, they're not going to like come up with the drugs in a laboratory.
No.
They're just going to mass produce it.
Yeah, so the pharmaceutical companies do all the research. Samsung does all the actual work.
And Samsung's biologics division that this is in, it's seen drug manufacturing orders triple to $1.5 billion in the past year.
So this $2 billion bet on a new complex is that they think this is the kind of demand that's going to last long term, post-COVID.
Here's the thing about Samsung. It's actually Korean, and it means three stars.
Yeah, and those three stars, we noticed, represent big, numerous, and powerful. Those are synonyms, but the same thing.
Those are kind of synonyms. Actually, Samsung's logo used to have three stars, but they ditched it, and now it's just the thing written on the bottom of your TV.
Jack's going all the way back to 1938 here, when it was founded by a man who just wanted to have a small trading company selling noodles and fish.
And today, it is an unprecedented power in the South Korean economy for one company.
11% of the Korean economy is Samsung.
78 subsidiaries and affiliates are just cranking out good economic output.
Snaggers, nothing freaks Jack out more than a really high GDP ratio situation.
Now, cell phones and semiconductors, Nick, is what we all know Samsung for the most.
But they don't stop there. They're also pumping out fridges and washing machines.
And they have a heavy industries division, which is apparently the world's largest shipbuilder in its class.
These guys do ships. Oh, also, they have Samsung life insurance.
And they don't want just that for white collar jobs. They also have hospitality resort division.
And they don't stop there. They have an advertising company.
This is like Wayne Industries times 100.
It's a Batman-worthy complex structure, and each of those affiliate companies has its own stock.
They're traded in South Korea, but not available in the United States.
And they're all loosely owned and controlled by the Lee Dynasty, a powerful family in South Korea.
By the way, Samsung also launched the Galaxy Z Fold 2 last week. Snackers, we don't always cover Samsung because the company is pretty opaque and hard to understand, and their stock isn't available here.
And the Lee family should probably be Succession Season 2 South Korea division. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Samsung?
Apple focuses on quality. Samsung tries to do quality and quantity.
Yeah, emphasis on the quantity. Smartphones, they're the most important product in the economy, and it's Apple versus Samsung when it comes to that.
While Apple announces one iPhone per year, Samsung is selling over 100 smartphone models.
And we notice that Samsung does the same thing across all its divisions.
It's not just making one medication. Nope. In this $2 billion mega facility, it will be able to make any medication.
That's because Samsung's corporate empire is all about providing a range of options.
So it's able to provide customers a product regardless of the price point that customer needs.
Honestly, not a strategy that Jack and I typically see in the United States.
Looks though like it's working because globally, 20% of smartphones are Samsung smartphones.
Big, numerous, powerful. Jack, I'm going to miss you for the three-day weekend, but can you whip up the takeaways for us before we leave?
Jeep is bringing back the Grand Wagoneer, tapping into our nostalgia.
Kind of a lazy move, but it's easier to remake than it is to do something original.
Second story, Campbell Soup had a great run. Investors aren't sure it'll continue.
Yeah, the kids are eating cauliflower rice now, so Campbell's thinks they'll want its canned gravy.
Third and final story. We mostly know Samsung in the US as an electronics company,
but it's really a one-of-a-kind force in the South Korean economy. Now, time for our snack fact of the day, which comes from Thomas Baggio. Lived in Portland for a while, but now he's hanging out in Hawaii. Must be nice, Tom.
The reason we mentioned the Portland, he wanted to clarify something we mentioned on a pod.
Yeah, he did.
We said the Portland Timbers, which is one of Portland's pro soccer teams. We wondered if they had a stump as a mascot.
Easy thing for us to Google, but we didn't. So Tom is pointing out they don't have a stump as a mascot.
But they do have a true outdoorsman who is a lumberjack as their mascot, a real live human being.
This soccer team literally has a guy who slices down a piece of lumber throughout the whole game whenever they score a goal.
He's got a chainsaw and it's basically like, ding, 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 like a whole bunch of slices of lumber.
Jack, you're such a natural. I can smell the bark. I can smell the bark right now.
Nick, you know I worked for 1 week in the winter of 2009 as a lumberjack and got fired.
Snackers, I go to this guy for my rural needs. Jack taught me how to ride a bike. Now, before we go, Snackers, we want to say congratulations to Richmond and Camry in Provo, Utah, just got married.
And congrats to Ben and Emily for 4 years in Indianapolis, Indiana.
And Ryan and Andrea in 5 years in Alexandria, Virginia.
AJ and Katya, 23 years, destination unknown.
Manny and Brianna Mullen, married last weekend.
Tom and Kate Anyard, congrats on getting hitched in Atlanta, Georgia.
Maddie McRitchie moving to New York City, love the move.
And happy birthday to Salma Bouyad and Casa Blanca, Morocco.
And to Savannah Rosen in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
And China Sparks in Milford, Michigan.
And Arpan Patel turning 32 in New York City.
And Michael Chen in Hong Kong.
And Chad Leonard in Tacoma, Washington, but moved from the legendary Southern Vermont.
Chad, we're basically neighbors. I'm from Brattleboro. Samantha Romsey Cat Romnoff in Babylon, New York. Happy birthday.
And Gustavo Torres from Ensenada, Mexico.
Happy 30th birthday to Stephen Beery in Los Angeles, California. From Talina. And Brad, listening for 1 year to Snacks, happy anniversary from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Snackers, before we go, have a fantastic 3-day weekend. We're gonna miss you guys.
Oh, quick correction here.
Yeah.
Brown-Forman, the liquor company, based in Louisville, Kentucky, not Tennessee.
Our bad on that one. We're good for it, Kentucky.
Home of Muhammad Ali also. Snackers, if you got buddies this weekend on the grill who's not snacking,
weird.
Could you ask him HYHYSD?
Have you had your snacks daily past the ketchup?
Have a great weekend, Nick, and I'll see you Tuesday.
If you know, you know.
This is Jack. Nick owns stock of Apple.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.